closer is a fucking insane ball.
Oh, yeah.
We should phrase it in any other way, but I do agree with, like, the thrust of what you say.
It comes on, I'm tapping my feet. I'm clicking my finger.
Welcome to Punta Vista. It's a bonus episode. I'm Andrew, and poof, alakazam, bitch. I'm the genie of the lamp. I've just popped out on the beach with two strapping lads. Both of them have metal tarnish on their shorts and visible erections that I am choosing to ignore. How's it going, fellas?
Hey.
Oh, are you talking to both of us at the same time?
Yeah, yeah, you rub the lamp. Here I am. Am I meant to come out and address you one at a time? Or, like, that'd be odd socially.
Yeah, you're right.
For a genie, I guess.
Yeah,
I've had more experience
the guy on the left, guy
with
on the
genie
right.
stuff.
You could sort of twist the reality of the situation to fit the format of the intro, but I guess, yeah.
Well, the thing is, I do have that power, but somebody has to, like, wish for it first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wish whatever this was allowed you to introduce us one by one so that new listeners to the podcast on this bonus episode could know whose voice is whose.
Uh-huh.
Poof! That's your first wish, Ben. Great work. That's you, Ben, the first person I'm talking to.
That's
you
me.
Like
c'est
that?
Moi.
You like that? Well, I can see that you've kind of, you got the hang of this. You know, you seem to be a natural. I like your carefree attitude. You got a couple more wishes?
How many do we get?
Like, it's traditionally three.
Yeah. Okay. But
if I really fuck with your vibe, I can, like, mix it up. But let's not assume anything yet until I hear what some of the wishes are. The first one. Pretty low stakes.
Wow.
That first wish. That
was pretty. This podcast is my world. So,
yeah.
Okay. Are you saying that the number of wishes is at your discretion, not like an immutable law of gene ability?
I'm not going to say that on a recording. Okay. I could get into trouble with the genie union.
Interesting. Don't you think unions have too much power?
I'm not going to say that on a recording. I don't want to get in trouble with the genie union or. The
our
genie
listeners.
That's like incorporeal. No, he's incorporeal from the waist down, but he is wearing the mask from the Secrets of Magic Revealed guy. You know that guy?
I don't know.
Surely you've seen the TV show.
Is that a TV show where the guy was like, this is how the tricks are actually done, but if I reveal my true identity, I'll be assassinated by the Guild of Magicians?
Yes. What I'm saying is we have one of those guys too.
Okay.
But it's about union stuff, not genie stuff.
You know what? The more I hear about it, the more I think everything the courier mail says is correct.
Okay. Wish number two.
A really big boat.
How big are we talking? Are we talking
huge.
Like Steve Allen from Microsoft, mega yacht kind of stuff? Are we talking a battleship?
Oh, I was just reading up today on the USS Nimitz, and I think that is about the size of boat that I would like. It's having some problems at the moment, I think. They lost like two aircraft in the space of half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
In the South China Sea.
Time down. You got
They've
time
gone
down.
Back to falling into the ocean again.
What is going on?
And sometimes, I was going to say sometimes the vibes are off, but I think sometimes Mercury's in retrograde.
You think that the ships,
it,
the
it
planes?
It comes in cycles.
A it's helicopter and a plane fell off the USS Nimitz because Mercury is in retrograde.
Yeah. Because the planets have a pull.
Yes.
Think about it.
If they can control the ocean, why can't we're 60% water?
Yes.
You
a helicopter
me.
Is probably like 30 or 40%.
I think so, yeah.
I think the issue is that in a cost-saving measure, they've been using the same Oki straps on the planes for too long. And they're out in the sun. They're out in the elements, you know?
Yeah, all the paint's kind of starting to peel on top of them like a... Late 90s Hyundai XL.
All right, so you're wishing for the Nimitz.
No.
A ship the size of the Nimitz.
Thank you very much, yes.
Okay.
Jesus
and
Christ, I know how this GD shit works.
Well, before you make the wish, are you going to include a crew in that wish, or are you running around doing it all by yourself? Are you going to get your friend Theo here, I believe his name was, to run around with you?
Hey.
Like Monty Burns and Smithers in the nuclear plant running it by themselves? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. I think in the first half of that, they're like pushing themselves around on like wheelie chairs and having fun and stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I want that. I want him to be free of all of the responsibilities that would stop him from being able to full-time crew a very large nuclear-powered aircraft carrier with me.
Yeah.
Imagine one of you flying a drone up on the deck while the other one goes... with one of those huge...
Oh, with a phalanx?
Yeah. Sure.
I don't know the names of types of gun.
It's got a 20 millimeter Vulcan minigun on it.
Yeah, that one thing.
Yeah. Do I get some wishes?
Hold on. Hold your horses. What's wish number three?
Me.
The Theo being free of responsibility so that he could be permanently crewing the vessel with me was my third wish.
Oh, no, I feel like that's wrapped up in the wish about the boat. That's just a condition on the boat wish.
Oh, okay. I would also... I would like to permanently have the galley. It's what we call the kitchen on a boat, nautical term. Which I think they also use that on the space station as well, interestingly enough. A lot of shared...
Yeah, a lot of shared... terminology that's... Fucking what a concept, man.
Just came up with it. I would like Rick Bayless to permanently be in the galley of my vessel as the in-house chef.
And when you say permanently, you mean undying?
Yes. Yeah. Right. And I want him as he is now, mm-hmm. sort of distinguished silver fox, older gentleman for forever, cooking me delicious Mexican food as only a white American can.
All right. Poof. You know, that's it over there. That's over there in the water. I'm not responsible for getting you out there. You got to sort out your own dinghy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So that's good. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Yeah. Now, you have 60 seconds to choose three wishes that will benefit humankind and improve the world without any unforeseen consequences, while also knowing that your wishes will be judged, especially if there is anything morally weak or sexually questionable about them.
Okay.
Begin.
I'm only going to need one, and that is that...
Three wishes.
Yeah.
It has to be three wishes or the first one won't count.
All right, so time has stopped on Earth, except for myself, Ben, and Skip Bayless, or whoever the fuck that is.
The other one.
until such time that I decide that it isn't stopped. And we're just going to wander the Earth. Second is infinite ammunition for the Phalanx minigun 20mm cannon. And third is we're going to need some cool
25
fireworks.
Seconds remain.
I'm done.
Granted.
Thank you. So time is frozen on Earth, except for me, Ben, and
Skip
Tim
Bayless.
Okay. I don't think there's... Is there a third Bayless brother?
Who the fuck... Who is this?
Well, I mean, how did you know who Skip Bayless was if you didn't know who Rick Bayless was? This is very confusing.
I contain multitudes, just not in, like, the right mix.
Yeah. Not in a useful or...
Not in a useful...
A helpful way. Third Bayless... Brother.
So Skip his brother.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
This is going to be odd because Rick Bayless is going to be kind of wandering the Earth while time has stopped for us, and he's going to see a whole bunch of shit that his brother won't and experience time in a completely different way.
Yes.
And that's going to be very odd when they reunite.
Are you guys aging in the top?
What have you been done? No, absolutely not. This is the time
sort
we have
permanent
to
stasis.
In stasis until we release it, basically. Because I want to kind of see a bunch of shit. I want to go all over the world. I want to think on
upskirts
a
in Japan, upskirts in Germany, upskirts in Brazil. You know.
Okay.
can I ask you a sort of abstract philosophical
question? Wasn't at the
question,
top of the list,
Theo?
Sure.
Do you think there would ever be enough time, like to, you know, because you're saying you sort of want to experience more of the world, which, you know, we have such a limited amount of time. Yeah. We can only see this very narrow window through which to experience the world around us. But like, even if we lived for like another 100 years, we'd barely scratch the surface. But even given an almost endless amount of time, do you think you would be able to experience everything?
I want to be given the choice. I think, and I want to kind of stretch that because it's really the pull of being able to see everything on this earth and experience it and what have you versus living in a society with people around you that age and that grow and change and that sort of stuff. And I want to see the tension of that pulled as tight as it can go.
Mm-hmm.
until it finally snaps and we release. And everything, I think, from that point on, our relationships, our relationship with time and aging and growth will just be all the sweeter, given that we've been given the choice and we took it. We became mortal again.
Mm-hmm. Like a Highlander.
Like a Highlander Arwen. Deal, or maybe like a elf.
Like Arwen. Like elf. Arwen. Like Arwen the elf.
Yeah, like Arwen.
Yeah, that's, like that's she made the
elf
choice.
That becomes mortal.
Yeah.
That's what the prize is in Highlander, right? You become mortal again? Is
that, yeah, you and to, Aragorn dicks you down.
I think it's $15,000.
Not adjusted for inflation.
It's 15 large and a Ford Focus RS.
It's funny because maybe Rally like
spec.
Depending on when Highlandering started, you know, the prize, like maybe
one guinea.
Well, what if it was like, you know, a big lump of gold? If it was a bunch of gold and jewels, like your old school treasures, that's going to hold up great now. Whereas if it started in the 80s and they were like $100,000.
I feel now like you're a big be like, chest full of gems and bullion kind of, it's kind of timeless, isn't it? It's ageless.
I actually think it's worth more now than it's ever been. What's happening with gold at the moment? Have you guys been reading...
What's happening with gold?
Something's happening with gold.
Did it change?
Oh, you guys want to give out some financial advice?
Did someone funge gold? I only read headlines if it's important world news. Okay. But for some reason, like all of the like cash for gold places or whatever have had lines out the door for the last couple of weeks.
And I believe that to be a good sign about the economy.
I've actually heard that the banks are running out of money as well.
Oh.
So it might be time to head down to your local bank and say, give it, I want it all. I want it all in cold, hard cash.
And we've said this before on the show, but this is financial advice.
This is financial and legal advice, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, shit, yeah, we're on a real high. We reached a peak like 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah, is that
and now
good?
It's plummeting.
Okay. Is that
so if you've got gold, you want to change that back into a bank account. As soon as you can. Now is the time.
No, you want to hold on.
Funge it.
Hold on, dear listener. Is that what HODL is?
Yes, it is. It's really...
Can I give you guys a really quick dump it?
Not with diamond hands,
it?
Though, because that's going to make a big print in the side of the bars.
It's time for Dump It.
When the story ain't funny enough, dump it. When there ain't enough funny stuff, junk it. If you want... Show to be good, then go on and dump all that stuff.
You know what? This is dump. Dump it. Trash it. It's garbage.
All right, so this is... it wasn't really worth going into because I think a lot of Americans already know about this and like half our listeners are American at this point and I don't want to repeat shit they already know. So I'm going to go over this in brief.
Fuck 'em.
Yeah, they get pandered to with everything else. You know how Donald Trump, he's getting rid of the penny. They're phasing out the penny in America because they've still got a 1 cent coin over there, which seems insane to us because we haven't had that for 30 years.
20, yeah.
However, that out. When was the last time you saw like Australian 1 or 2 cent coin?
They need those so they can pay their minimum wage.
Yes.
Things aren't
good over there. Yeah. They're phasing it out next year, but already people are starting to run out of them. And part of the reason they're phasing
them out...
The banks are running out of money! they're phasing them out because they're expensive. It costs 2 cents to make a 1 cent coin.
Mm-hmm. You've got to spend money to make money.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's real good. Fuck.
God. We're so incisive.
That's real. All right, turns out that's actually not even close to being their most cost ineffective coin. It costs like 13.8 cents to make a nickel, which
is way off. It's way off.
That's no good. Anyway, so they're phasing it out and they haven't stopped producing it, but they're starting to run out in some places. And like, this is old hat for us. Like when I started working at Coles when I was 14 years old, they're like, you just round it. That's it.
Yeah.
You round it to the nearest 5 cent value, bam, not a problem. If you hit the cash button, it'll actually automatically round it for you because our smallest unit, as we call it, the Australian nickel, the 5 cent coin, not a big deal. But they don't have those policies in place. So some companies are saying they're going to round down. Some companies are saying they're going to round up as like a whatever. They've picked one. And they're sticking with it. Some are saying they're rounding to the nearest, you know, 5 cent or whatever.
Yeah,
it seems like it would be more effective to round up, and if you get asked, say you round it down. That's how I would conduct my business.
The prisoner's dilemma. Yeah. I think that's smart. But one problem they've run into,
They've run it into
is that there are an article I was reading today was saying there are at least 10 states or localities where it is illegal to round the value like up or down.
They put that on the books?
You can't do it. It has to be exact. So if they don't have exact change, you can't sell it to them. That, like, obviously they could use a card or whatever, but if for whatever reason they can only pay in cash and they don't have exact change,
you can't sell it to them.
But because they're starting to run out of these pennies, these 1 cent pieces, you literally can't. You can't get that exact change. That country is a fucking mess.
It's a mess.
I don't think we've got a lot left in America.
We are running out of time.
We're running out of time to have America in our lives.
You know how...
Yes. Check in on your America before it's too late.
Yeah.
You know how in a game of European football, they'll have some penalty time on the clock at the end. They play the whole game and then they go, you know what? We threw on a couple of minutes because of other stuff that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really feels like we're in penalty time. America.
Yeah. America's gone into golden point.
Yep.
At this point. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to be America that wins. It'll be China.
It's more of a last one to be president wins, isn't it?
Yeah, you'll be the one with the most statues at the end of the like memorials where America
win the culture victory?
Yeah. That was my favorite one because I don't like the conflict. I don't like fighting with people. I don't want people to be mad at me. But a culture victory, you just flip their cities just by being really good at producing Leonardo da Vinci's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By inventing Buddy Holly.
Yeah. Wow. I just flipped... All right, name one city.
What's it? Memphis.
Dusseldorf, because I have Buddy Holly. I have Buddy Holly, and now Dusseldorf is mine.
We can't get enough of the Big Bopper.
It's the German turn, and they just see the Buddy Holly piece slowly move across the map towards Dusseldorf.
Mein Gott, they've got Buddy Holly! Fucked!
They invented regular Elvis and fat Elvis.
We're still trying to unlock Kraftwerk.
Hey, a third Bayless brother. That's kind of like a cryptid. Talk about cryptids in Cryptid Watch.
Residents there say they've heard unusual animal sounds at night, and several ATV riders say they've seen unusual looking creatures in the distance.
Next guest may have taken one of the best ever pictures of the Loch Ness Monster.
For some reason, this time, just the concept of ATV riders enjoying cryptids in the distance.
That's beautiful.
It's the contemplative mode of transport available.
Tearing up somebody's paddock. None of you can hear each other, but in unison, they all turn and look at the horizon.
Yeah,
what is really that? Beautiful.
I feel like that's a uniquely American image. One of the ones that'll be lost to time.
Mm-hmm. Now that America's over.
Now that America's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
America is washed. America is chopped.
It's got one bullet in the head, but it's still stumbling towards you.
America is the guy from Blue Velvet that got the bullet through the head who's just sort of standing in that living room because he's been lobotomized by that one shot. This comes to us from East Idaho News. Former police officers create organization for first responders who encounter the unexplained. Two longtime Arizona law enforcement officers have launched a unique organization aimed at helping police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and other first responders process encounters with things they can't explain, from strange lights in the sky to unexplained voices on 911 calls.
But we can't stress this enough. No security guards.
That's yeah. right. They are not real.
I don't give a fuck if you got a video of the mummy on your phone. You're not coming in.
Do you reckon...
The mummy at Target?
What are the Coast Guard? Do you put the Coast Guard in first responders, or are they in the military?
I think they're... Well, the Coast Guard are the Coast Guard are the Army Reserves of the Sea, right?
Yes. True. Yeah. I think that's correct, yeah.
Sea Reserves.
Is that right?
No, I have no fucking idea. Hmm. In America, I know it's a branch of the military in America, right?
Oh, okay. Huh.
The Coast Guard.
Military, right?
They've got the Army,
yeah.
the Navy.
Yes.
The Air Force.
Correct.
The Coast Guard.
Yes.
Marines?
Space Force.
Or a Marines? A Space Force. Marines well, Space are part Force, of the Navy, aren't they?
They're going to be a shoo-in. You want to hear from the Space Force guys when they come in for like a meeting or whatever.
Because they've been in space?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've probably seen some crazy shit up there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
From up high there.
Fuck, I would genuinely, has a single member of Space Force been in space yet?
Oh, like under, at all or since the formation of Space
Force? Since the formation.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. 2024, last year. The first time a US Space Force Guardian was launched into space. As
you
part
say
of
Space Force Guardian?
Yeah, Guardians Guardian. Are what we call them. You have, the in the fuck. Army, it's soldiers. Air that, Force, airmen.
Yeah. Losers.
Navy, seamen.
Yeah.
Spaceman was right there.
It should have been Spaceman. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Fuck. Well, and they're not even worried about political correctness. So they can just go with Spaceman.
Yeah, you wouldn't say space person because no. Trump's in the office. If Biden had won, we'd probably yeah. be calling them space people.
Yeah, he wouldn't be.
I'm just looking at Wikipedia there at the article list of
that hot strip of bacon over there.
List of United States Space Force astronauts. And this first sentence is bolded. This is a complete list of astronauts in the United States Space Force.
There are no more.
I have expanded the list. It was in a collapsed accordion.
Yep.
I have expanded the list. There are two astronauts on the
list.
Right. I think you could have left the accordion open, to be honest. Didn't need to save that screen real estate.
Have we got Colonel Nick Haig? Is he one of them?
Brigadier General Nick Haig.
Holy fuck, he has had a big year.
And Colonel Michael S. Hopkins. They are from NASA Astronaut Group 20 and 21. Oh, and there was SpaceX crew. Ugh.
Yeah, it was on a fucking SpaceX fucking bullshit fucking shit. I don't care about that. If you don't have your own spaceships and you're not sending up like a team of crack guardians of like elite special force space guardians or whatever, that doesn't count. This is dumb and it's fake.
If you're not shipping them guns from Moonraker, then I don't care.
Yes, correct. They should have space rail guns.
Yes.
And they should be getting up there under their own power. I don't think we should have launched, by we I mean the world, Space Force until it was like ready to fully roll out. Like space boot camp in orbit. You know, they've got their own space station where they send up like the graduating class of Space West Point to do their like space mandatory space time. You know, this is just...
Picture this, if you will.
Okay.
They've said... Hey, we're starting up a newer Air Force with a cooler name, you know, because that's what Space Force is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
They said, ooh, we want NASA, but not for pussies and nerds. We're going to make Space Force Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to send cool fucking brigadiers up there. But we're doing that with the Air Force. Yeah, we got the Air Force, but now we want the air strength, you know?
Yeah.
And they say, all right, well, the first air strength colonel is going into flight, and he waves at you, and then he boards a Pan Am 747. It doesn't hit the same, does it?
No.
If he's just getting on someone else's plane, did you really do it, you know?
Yeah. You just sometimes, you know, like if you've got like a new thing you're kind of working on, the temptation is just to put it out there the moment that you have like the idea. But sometimes it behooves you to have your fundamentals in place. So if like, you know, a bunch of fucking jamokes on an Australian comedy current events podcast are like, what the fuck is Space Force? What is this garbage?
This is where agile minimum viable product culture MVP. Gets us.
Yes, you know? Correct.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Moonbase Ares?
Yeah.
You know? You'd be like, oh, you think Space Force is a joke? How come I got 100 grunts right now in the Sea of Tranquility doing ultra push-ups?
Hey, Ben, have you ever heard of the Russian space station with the big gun on it?
Yes, I have. And I read this. I love it.
I read this like a couple of months back.
What kind of gun?
In like a book that we got for Finn, reading about like rocketry stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like pushing him away from the book while he's glued to it.
He's reading at a very high level.
Yeah. Anyway, that's cool. Like, yeah, the Americans are focusing on putting someone on the moon and Russians are just like, well, we're going to do space stations for a while. By the way, don't look at this civilian one we put a big gun on.
Haven't there? There's been a few like not officially documented weapon trials in orbit where they have like put up a satellite and then destroyed it on purpose to test these like sort of rail gun-ish kind of things.
From Earth?
No, from orbit, like from orbit to orbit. No,
I don't know.
Sometimes, you know, you've got like a lazy Sunday afternoon and you Google weapons in space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you just read everything that comes up. That's how you learn about the world around you, a curious, beautiful mind like mine. Two longtime Arizona law enforcement officers have launched a unique organization aimed at helping police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and other first responders. I definitely already read this entire paragraph. The group called UAP PD, short for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon Police Department.
It's not a new department. This is a cross-departmental concern.
Can you call it?
You
can't.
You can't just make yourself the fucking Fox Mulder department.
That's so fucking crazy to make up what is essentially like a social organization.
Yeah, a bunch of fold-out chairs in a room.
Yeah, like you're hiring out like the Kedron Library meeting room.
Yeah.
Like that's not a police department. It's a group of police and firefighters and EMTs, surely. Not a fucking police department.
I'm also enjoying their description of it as like a way to like get together to talk about the unexplained, which for, I assume, the average police recruit is a lot of things.
Yeah, like most stuff.
The world holds infinite mystery to them that they will never solve and never begin to solve.
They're like struggling to figure out how you could possibly see the moon and the sun at the same time. Like, getting them to sort of crack UAPs is maybe like one level too far.
I am definitely picturing it less as a type of police department and more as one of the different support groups that he keeps going to at the start of Fight Club.
Yeah, yes. 100% that is the visual
just,
image. I'm
just
getting.
Drop UAPPD into that meeting.
Yeah, having his coffee, having his biscuit, just being like, yep.
Taking his turn to cry, talking about how he got probed out on that shift, you know?
Yeah. Man. The group was co-founded by Mary Ann Robb and David Rich, both retired from the Gilbert Police Department.
Robin Rich?
After decades.
Robin Rich. Great.
That's now, the world these days, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
They need to lead with that, talking about cops named Robin Rich, because now it's becoming a great comedy.
Let's get him a
procedural.
Pilot.
Yeah. I think Rob is the, like, doesn't really play by the rules, is
absolutely
a bit of a personal 100%. Life is a mess,
mm-hmm.
doesn't shower every day, which in that hot Arizona sun is brutal. And Rich, real by the books, a little stuffy, went
stick
to,
in the mud.
I want to say, an Ivy League university.
Yes.
Went to Harvard. Studied law at Harvard, probably. Family
so
on
you're
the Mayflower
saying,
and stuff.
You're saying You're saying that Rich is Cash and Rob is Tango.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Rob and Rich said the idea came after realizing that while military pilots and civilians are increasingly coming forward about mysterious sightings, first responders largely stay silent, often out of fear of ridicule or professional consequences.
Is that right?
Huh.
Quote, "Why aren't law enforcement and first responders talking?" Rob told East Idaho News. Yeah. "They see things on duty they can't explain. Lights in the sky, strange sounds, even figures. But they won't say anything because of the stigma. They're supposed to know what they're looking at, and when they don't, it's terrifying." Rich knows that silence firsthand when, as a school resource officer in 2017, he was asked to respond to a chilling 911 call. Okay. It came from a phone at a local high school and, according to Rich, contained a whispered voice saying, "I scare."
Now, if it was in 2017, come it would have been it would have been a lowercase I scare as one
word.
I scare 2.0.
From a fucking school resource officer?
Oh, that's my God. So good, dude.
And you're going to start a secret, like, your own society about it because you can't explain a whispered voice?
Go on. I scare.
You must...
launching my own secret society about it a brisk 8 years later.
Come on!
Man, it's like one high school kid with another one being like, say something scary. The other one's like, I scare? Fuck.
You know what this sounds like to me?
How did the voice get on the telephone?
Scariest
fucking
thing of all.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, well, withhold your judgment.
No!
For one more sentence.
It's not what this show is about.
When Rich pulled surveillance footage from the school, he said no one was anywhere near the phone when the call was made. So you fucking tell me, dog. That's the ghost.
So what are you saying it is? What are you saying it is?
Scary Tim.
Scary Tim?
Scary Tim
from down the school.
I scare. You know what I do?
I'm scared.
I wake up, I have a cup of coffee, I have a light breakfast, basically just a snack, and then I kiss my wife goodbye, and then I scare.
For the integrity of the UAP, they did not disclose the thick Italian accent that the...
I scare. I scare. I scare.
Oh, which... please, I scare.
I checked everything. The phone company, the lines, the recordings. There was no logical explanation, Rich said. I was a total skeptic until that moment. What do you think he means he checked the lines?
Checked the lines.
He called the utility company and said, a ghost use the phone?
Yeah.
Hey, said, we don't know.
Oh, random question. You have like a Phantom or like a Babadook. Use your phones for a 2 second phone call to 911 recently. You don't have any record of a Babadook. Shit. This
makes so much sense.
This is a UAP.
Babadook on the phone?
Yeah.
This is what I would do if I was trying to like soft launch a career as the new Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah, 100% Robin Rich.
Yeah, we've got to try and get a few more of them out there in the world. And I bet a lot of people have a crack. I bet a lot of people have a crack at having some stories about a possession they saw, an exorcism they helped with, and they're just hoping that the right person wanders by and goes, "I am actually a book agent.
You guys are the
I'm
next
from Hollywood.
Ed and Lorraine Warren.
This is cool enough to be an Ed and Lorraine Warren situation." And what are your names? Robin Rich.
Robin Rich. See, this
sign
is
here.
Good.
Please sign here.
It's fertile ground to start from as well because... the average person, kind of stupid, thinks that law enforcement officer, you must be like a, you know how the surgeon's photo, that the photo of the Loch Ness Monster that was actually paper mache attached to a toy submarine.
You can't prove that.
It was like the most famous photo of the Loch Ness Monster for 30 years.
I know the one, yeah.
And everyone was like, well,
that's it.
It's guy's a surgeon.
We got it.
He's a doctor. A doctor would never lie. Why would a doctor lie? The same deal. You're like, well, he's a cop. And he said he was a skeptic before, so, obviously this has got to be true.
Yeah, and he must be, like, through his job, he must be able to accurately ascertain things like where phone calls came from.
Blinds.
Like, understanding concepts like freaking and, like, call forwarding and all this kind of shit, right? And he would probably have that all on lock, you know, with the people that he kind of, like, puts in jail for those reasons. And he would fully understand all of those things before stepping forwards and putting his story so bravely out there, where we can just, I mean, we just got to laugh at it, aren't we? Because we don't care. We don't care to understand him. We're just going to laugh in his face for his stupid fucking story because we don't care. We're going to hear that story and we're going to mock him for it because it sounds stupid and it sounds like a thing that a silly thing that a extremely uncritical person who's lived, you know, maybe decades in life and not yet developed the skill to weigh probabilities and possibilities, sort of just a person who's very, you know, maybe we might say that he's a rube, right? We might say that he's easily convinced of things. We might say even that there are some school children who are now a little older and they're still laughing at him. They saw this society that they created, you know, someone who's not empathetic like us, you know, we're lacking the general empathy to sort of walk a mile in another person's shoes. We might think that there might be some early 20s kids out there. You know, they were kids, now they're in their early 20s and they're hearing this guy put himself out there and they never thought that this prank would go so far. And they're laughing at him as well.
Yeah, they've moved to Seattle now. Yeah. They work at a vegan cafe.
Yeah.
And a friend of theirs has been like, oh, shit, dude. I hope Seattle treated you well. I think you're going to like to read about this.
Yeah.
You remember the SRO that you, like, said I scare to?
Yeah, and he shat his pants and couldn't come into work the next day?
He started a fake police department about you saying I scare.
Yeah.
Into the telephone in an Italian accent for reasons I don't fully understand.
When you did your Luigi's Mansion into the phone.
Yeah.
And it just kind of changed the course of that dude's life.
It's called Luigi's Mansioning, and it's taking America by storm.
Did either of you guys watch that that documentary thing on Netflix, Unknown Number, The High School Catfish?
No, no, why would I do that?
No, that sounds dumb.
It was quite scintillating. It was a thing that was in the news a couple of years ago about this girl at a local high school who was getting horribly harassed on her phone by an unknown number.
Okay.
And it went on for years. The school and everyone was involved, all this sort of shit. And after several years, the crime got solved and it turned out it was her own mother. And her own mother is in the documentary. So this is already like a known quantity before you watch this thing, right? But her mum's in the documentary, and about two-thirds of the way through, they say, oh, we know who it is, and it's this lady. And as soon as they start talking to her...
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Look, still watch it. Still watch it. It's interesting. But also, as soon as you see the mum, you go, oh, you're really unwell, you know? I can't stop watching things now and just thinking about people's mental health, anything to do with true crime, you know?
And it's so cool that we've kind of mixed the sort of... the observer and the observing, like, all into one big kind of
melting pot.
Melting pot with their mental illness in there too. Yeah.
The reason I bring this up is because as this starts happening, right, it goes on for a while and they bring it up at the school and they say, hey, my daughter's being harassed about her boyfriend from somebody. Seems like it's someone she knows. We think it's someone from the school. And the school are like, oh, yeah, that's pretty bad. We'll talk to the police officer that lives inside every school in America, as they do.
Yeah.
Let's get him out of his bunk and have a chat to him about it. And he goes, oh, okay. let me see. Can you see who it's from? And they go, no, it's an unknown number. And he goes, oh. And starts just like dragging students in to the principal's office and going, did you do it? and being like, seriously, you seem kind of like a bitch. Are you the one doing all this stuff? They got all the body cam footage of him like dragging in different students over the course of the following 2 years, right? It goes on for so fucking long. And then at some point, someone from the local, I think, FBI field office gets involved.
Yeah.
They brief him on it, and he immediately goes, oh, I got a warrant and went to the phone company and said, who are all these messages coming from? And they said, it's coming from this phone number.
Fuck.
Like, yeah, he just said, oh, I was immediately able to see, like, the IP addresses and stuff that this phone was online at, and they were all from the girl's own house. And then I just went and got the devices that were in the house, and I was like, it's this one. And this other dude had straight up spent 2 years just harassing random students and saying, you probably did it though, right?
Man.
And they hand it off to another slightly smarter cop who goes, you can ask, actually.
It rules how empowered doofuses are.
God, remember how now in the world, pretty much any time the cops ask any company or government body or educational institution for any information about anyone involved, they go, okay.
Yeah, ring camera, whatever. All the footage from your camera. Whatever you want.
Just uncock that gun real quick and I'll scare that up for you.
Man.
I scare that up.
Oh, did I say something?
He drops his coffee cup in slow motion.
This is 2 hours and 20 minutes into the movie Zodiac.
I knew it was the weird guy. I just sensed that when I was watching the movie.
Yeah, when the weird guy came on camera?
The guy that felt evil and terrifying? Sort of weird, I kind of thought it
like
was
an
him.
Unknowable quality to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The air of menace about him made me think, could that be the Zodiac killer?
Yeah. And in reality, he probably isn't as well.
He probably isn't. He probably almost isn't. Certainly isn't. There's
it's
a bunch
just sort of
stuff
how they
that
portrayed him in the movie. It's like, well, he's a real guy.
It'd be
exists.
A really shit movie if they get to the end. They're like, ah.
Could be anyone.
But that's the thing. That's Zodiac, though.
That's
here's
Zodiac.
The thing.
That's
Zodiac. There's a lot
here's
of
here's the thing.
Here's Zodiac. Thing.
That's so Zodiac.
That's Zodiac.
That's our Zodiac. There's a lot of unsettling people out there. Doesn't make them all the Zodiac.
Yeah.
I think logistically, they can't all be the Zodiac.
No.
Only one of us is the Zodiac. I mean, one of the people in the world.
Which of us three?
Yeah. You know what?
One of us
beautiful?
Always lies, one of us always tells the truth, and one of us is the Zodiac killer.
You know, sometimes the Zodiac is like just a complete well of evil emanating from all of his pores, and then sometimes that same guy is really sweetly offering to get up early and make his wife eggs in the movie Fargo.
In the movie Fargo.
You never know. What a wonderful actor. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in the Drew Carey show?
Don't know. When he brought the case to his supervisor, Rich said he was told to drop it and not to file a report. It's probably for two reasons.
Yes.
One
yeah.
could be because it'll like there's a big conspiracy.
Yeah,
because
a big conspiracy. Or.
Or sounds real fucking stupid.
Yeah, you get in the newspaper. Stupid police officer.
For the
files,
words,
dumbass.
I scare. That's like a practice sentence you would get when you were learning German. Like, it's not really something that a scary thing would say. That's just me. If I was writing the scary thing, they wouldn't just tell you that they scare.
So what does he think? It's an actual fucking
the ghost.
Babadook, the ring ghost. Kind of situation?
Ghoul.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a lot
yet.
To go off in terms of demonstrating
and
that any
him.
Harm is going to happen.
Nothing happened.
He might have had a divorce.
Yeah.
Just I'm saying that because of this thing that he started doing. Maybe some other parts of his life started falling apart.
Yeah.
That's true. In the years in between. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
when,
it's
like,
me
his wife
or the Luigi's Mansion ghost. Yeah.
His wife starts doing the like fucking the I think you should leave being fucking punked by a magician, little baby
yeah,
dick.
I don't
kind
respect
of thing,
you anymore.
Like, yeah. Because he got scared by the voice on the phone.
I'm scared. I'm scared of you. I scared of you.
The Italian Zodiac? Now, the Sicilian Zodiac, we respect.
Yes, please don't get angry at us, Sicilians. We fear you. Those other Italians are not so scary. Tuscans. Romans.
Yeah.
What are the other parts of Italy?
Venetians.
Venezia.
Firenze.
See. Later, he learned other officers who responded were also warned not to speak about what they'd experienced. Quote, "Police work is all about credibility," Rich said.
Yeah.
I think it's all about...
I mean, it's probably about a few other things,
like
too.
Like violence, but... intimidation.
Yeah.
Ego, protecting private property.
Terror. Yeah.
Do you think there's any connection between police work being about integrity and your boss choosing not to put in the paper that you got scared by an Italian ghost at the school?
Quote, "If an officer says he saw Bigfoot or a ghost, that becomes a joke and it can destroy his reputation on the stand."
No,
You can't switch between Bigfoot and ghost when you say that.
I think part of what, like, you can't have a broad church approach to this stuff. Like,
you can't say an officer says that he saw a Dracula or Pinky from Pac-Man and all of a sudden everyone's laughing at him.
Yeah. Just one time you mentioned that you saw a chupacabra or a skinwalker and all of a sudden you drummed out of the force. Rob, who spent 34 years with Gilbert Police, said she and Rich found UAP PD founded. Sorry. Said she and Rich founded UAP PD to give those officers and first responders anywhere in the world a place to share their experiences safely.
God, that's a real meeting of the minds, isn't it?
Oh, my God. The world's kookiest first responders all in one big group chat, all swapping Bigfoot stories.
Everybody trading their drawings of the Fresno Nightcrawler.
Oh, my God. That's kind of beautiful. That, I hope, is happening. Quote, "We have over 800,000 officers in the US, Rob said. "They're out there every day, all night, under open skies. You can't tell me they aren't seeing things. They just need someone they can trust."
I think it's okay to experience things that are unexplainable, that are beyond your ken.
I think that's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
All of us have maybe seen or experienced something where we're like, that was weird. And we can't quite fit it into the understanding
not,
that we have.
Not me, but I can understand how it can happen. But the to start from fucking
I like doing this from a pure numbers standpoint is great. Just like 800,000 cops, they're out there at night. If there's something in the sky, they're going to fucking see them. Well, there's like 340 million Americans. They also go out at nighttime.
Yeah, but they're allowed to talk. They're not under the you know how police officers never like say anything to like reporters or anything like that? They're not under the shared omerta.
Copomerta. Yeah. Since launching 2 years ago, UAPPD has collected more than 80 UAPPD. First-hand accounts.
It's got PP in it.
Does have PP in it.
They fucked up. They put PP in it.
You can't spell UAPPD without PP.
Without PP.
Mm-hmm. They've collected more than 80 first-hand accounts from across the US and as far away as Australia. Some involve UFOs or, quote, unidentified aerial phenomena. Others describe ghostly encounters or strange creatures. Rob often travels to meet first responders face-to-face. She recently went to Utah after a police officer there confided he'd seen what he believed to be a Bigfoot.
She?
Yeah. Yes. Mary.
Yeah. Yeah,
Rob. Mary Rob.
Okay, so now it's also a will-they-won't-they moonlighting kind of situation. Yeah. Imagine if Tango and Cash kissed during that movie.
Imagine if it was the X-Files, but it's two Fox Mulders and one's a lady. Tell me you wouldn't watch that.
Oh, that's hot. Yeah, I'm into that. Quote, "He thanked me for coming because he'd kept it inside for years."
Wink.
No, come on now.
Wink, wink.
Grow up. Wink.
It's bad for you to keep it inside.
It's not good for your prostate health, I don't think. He was afraid to tell anyone, afraid it would ruin his career. I don't like the construction Bigfoot. Not a fan of that.
A Bigfoot, yeah.
A Bigfoot. And also in fucking Utah, you're not seeing a goddamn Bigfoot in Utah.
You're seeing a Yeti, possibly.
You're seeing some sort of mythical hominid of some kind, sure.
Have they got some Rockies in Utah, or is it all just flat as shit?
Oh, it's rocky as fuck, dude.
Okay. It's
beautiful. The most beautiful landscapes in America.
Get snowy up there?
Get snowy as fuck, yeah.
Yeah, well, so you definitely that's where you're got a possibility of some Yetis. Yeah.
You saw a Yeti in Canyonland. In you, didn't see, Reef,
you didn't see the one and only Bigfoot.
No. You
know? Yeah.
You and saw, as we all know, he prefers to be in a wooded area. He prefers to be in thick forestation.
He's arboreal.
And he needs that soft, lush forest bed as well for the tunnels that he uses to move around between different
his
forests.
Interdimensional tunnels. Yeah.
I also
he's
believe
not getting
that
on the I-95, I'll tell you that.
I don't think the Bigfoot's, he's not choosing to reveal himself to police officers.
100%. Oh.
Yeah. He does not vibe.
No. Doesn't like a cop.
No.
The organization also offers connections to counselors, clergy, and peer support for those shaken by such experiences.
I think really just trying to broaden the membership numbers while they launch.
They'd like put you in touch with a police chaplain if you Luigi's Mansion happened to you.
This is not like a this is not a membership thing. This is an employee assistance program.
Yeah, I think it might be.
If you've been shaken by a phone that rang,
I was scared.
Like, kind of like an Italian teenager on the line.
Yes, my son. I scared too.
If you had a life ruined by an Italian teenager, they've got someone you could talk to who says, hey, that probably won't happen again. Probably. That Italian teenager is an adult 23-year-old working at a vegan cafe in Seattle now.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, these things create trauma, Rich said. First responders are trained to control chaos, but when something happens that doesn't fit what they know is real, it can shake them deeply.
First responders are trained to control chaos?
I think that's true of paramedics and the Coast Guard, maybe. I don't know if I would say that's true of cops. Rarely are they controlling chaos, in my experience.
Yeah.
Firefighters, controlling chaos often.
Oh, 100%.
Probably in the most literal sense. Yeah.
It's fucked up that cops are out there inventing new cryptids when there's like real life cryptids in Utah. I was just looking at the Wikipedia for the for Pando, the largest tree in the world. It spans 43 hectares. It's got 47,000 individual stems.
Mm.
All goes underground. It's all interconnected.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Pando is a beautiful being.
Mm.
Gorgeous.
Are you suggesting that Pando is a cryptid?
I mean,
I think this is like a real, I don't know.
An unknowable life form?
If you can nail it down, but it feels weird, right? Like it feels inexplicable, like, you know, the slime mold in Chernobyl. Yeah. I reckon that's a cryptid. That's got to be a cryptid, right?
We only have like one sort of Pando one Pando that we know of. Like that's the one where you're like, oh,
the big individual colony organism tree
thing.
Yeah.
Pando. We don't have like, oh, we got a bunch of Pando lights or Pando-esque.
I saw a Pando in the distance in California.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're not seeing a Pando.
They got a Pando in Idaho. They got a Pando in Maine.
Yeah.
No, it's just Pando.
Just one Pando.
Yeah.
You might have seen a Hyperion in California. Very different thing.
You might have seen a General Sherman and read the signs that said biggest tree, and it turns out it's not. Like
it's not
by
just a single
measure.
Single.
Oh, they meant to just change
biggest,
the sign all the time.
Single, like stem tree, right?
Well, it was meant
it's
to
not
be
the tallest,
biggest single stem tree by mass. But I don't think it is anymore either. I think we have bigger ones that we've found.
Oh.
I think I remember someone telling me that when
by
I posted
volume,
on Twitter
it's
that
the
I'd
largest
just seen
known
it.
Living single stem tree.
Oh, it still is. Okay. Are you just looking at the Wikipedia article for like largest trees?
No, they link to each other. The Pando's one links to the General Sherman one because it's different criteria, right? Pando is one big biomass, but it's not a single stem, what we might think of as a tree.
So they're kind of relatives.
When I saw General Sherman, there was a deer just sort of grazing next to it, which was very cool. Oh. I thought that was very beautiful.
Yeah, you got to imagine that the life energy there is going fucking crazy.
It's popping off. It's off the charts. Like
AWA. Yeah. We don't know where Hyperion is, right? Like, I mean, people know, but like we keep Hyperion a secret, or is it one of those ones where we know its location and it's open to the public?
We do not generally know the location of Hyperion.
I'd love to see Hyperion one day before I die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we probably, someone in our audience probably knows somebody who knows where Hyperion is.
I bet we probably got someone who was like a biologist in Northern California, probably does tree stuff, probably knows where Hyperion is. I won't tell anyone else. Let me know. I'm probably not going to go to a holiday in the US probably until either like a new order has sprung up from the ashes of the old one, maybe.
So the exact location of Hyperion is nominally secret, but is available via internet search.
Oh, God damn it.
So it's out there.
Okay,
it's
well, out who there. Fucking cares then? Quote, "We don't need people to believe in ghosts or UFOs," Rich said. "We just ask them to admit there are things in the world we don't yet understand and to give first responders the grace to talk about it." Rob added, "It's about helping the men and women who protect us every day deal with experiences that don't fit inside a police report."
I feel like they're leaving enough stuff out of the police reports already.
They're falsifying those, so I don't really give a shit. Like, I sympathize with people who experience something like this that they have no way of relating to the people around them because it would make them sound crazy. I bet shit like that happens like once in the average lifetime.
Yeah.
Just hard to care. Like, if it's for all first responders, don't make it the something, something, something police department. Because I don't give a shit about the police. If this was like UAPs experienced by paramedics and firefighters, I'm like, fucking okay.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about it. You saw a vampire, you know, when you're out there doing a call to a heart attack or whatever the fuck. I want to hear all about that. If it's a cop, shut up.
You were trying to sterilize a wound and Mothman's getting all his dust in there?
He's getting the dust in there. What is the dust? No one knows. What is the... No, we don't need to get into that. Hey, I think this was definitely an episode of the podcast. Bunta Vista, thank you so much for joining us here behind the paywall. We appreciate your support so much.
I actually appreciate it more than the other guys.
That might be true. You're a very appreciative person.
Yeah.
That's generally.
True. Yeah, I probably don't have... I'm too in my head, I think, to appreciate a lot of things.
Fuck, that's true. And we're trying to get you out.
Yeah, you're trying to get
me out of there.
We're trying everything we can.
Yeah. Also, Lucy appreciates it. She just happens to be in Japan.
Oh, yeah, she's in Osaka. That's why we haven't had her this episode or the previous episode. She's over there having a crazy time. Yeah. She's just nuts. She's literally fucking psycho.
Yeah, she's so random.
She's try to rein her
I'm
in.
I'm going to Japan, just always doing random shit like that, you know.
Yeah, she's
out there
wild.
Living La Vida Lucy. You know?
I don't respect or condone what she's doing, but you know what? I wouldn't change a thing about her. So I hope she's having a great time. She'll be back soon, though, so you will probably hear from her again. If you've had an experience that you can't explain, I don't care how fucking embarrassing it feels to write it out in an email, but I really want to know about it because I know I've got a few.
Me too.
Some shit's happened to me where I was like, that's nuts. I can't fit this into my framework. You know, I'm a rational guy. I believe mostly in the physical universe as it's presented to me. I think most things abide by a set of laws that we already understand. But I've had some things happen to me where I was like, what the fuck is this? If you've had one of those, mailbag@puntavista.com. I want to know about it so fucking bad. Anonymize it if it's particularly embarrassing, but it's not, you know? The world is crazy, beautiful, mysterious.
It's beautiful.
And so are you. That's it. We'll talk to you on the free episode. Until then, please stay safe. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.